The sounds and voices included in the following report were recorded by over 100 CBS News correspondents and technicians who traveled across the United States with Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, bringing history to the listeners of CBS Radio. Now, Khrushchev in America.
Не готовы к разоружению и хотите дальше продолжать гонки вооружений?
This is the voice of Russian Premier Nikita Khrushchev, a voice which became familiar to Americans in the fall of 1959 when he and his family spent 13 days touring the United States. In this angry speech, Khrushchev is saying the alternative to his disarmament plan is war. The issue, Khrushchev is saying, is life or death.
Мы говорим или о мире, или о войне, или о жизни, или о смерти наших.
Such hostile words were rare during the Khrushchev visit. The stocky Russian premier's speeches were usually jovial and friendly. He had come here to preach his doctrine of peaceful coexistence, a theme he repeated constantly, beginning with his first speech after his turbojet plane touched down at Andrews Air Force Base outside of Washington on September 15th.
Господин президент, дамы и господа, позвольте мне.
Permit me, on first setting foot on American soil, to thank Mr. Eisenhower for the invitation to visit your country and everyone present for the warm welcome accorded to us, representatives of the Soviet Union. We have come here with an open heart and good intentions. The Soviet people want to live in friendship with the American people. There are no obstacles to having relations between our countries develop as good neighborly relations.
From the airport, Khrushchev and his party, which included his wife, children, and Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko, Khrushchev drove to Washington where large crowds silently lined the streets to get a look at the Russian premier. His first day was filled with the usual social events, including a reception at the White House. The next day, however, he met American reporters at the National Press Club, and for the first time, experienced some of the give and take of an unrehearsed news conference.
Меня спрашивают, каких результатов можно ожидать от нашего визита. Мы только что вчера.
I have been asked what results may be expected from our visit. It is only yesterday that we arrived in the capital of the United States. It would be premature to try to anticipate the results of our visit. Indeed, even the weatherman has great difficulty in forecasting the weather for only a day ahead, and forecasts in politics are certainly no less difficult. However, if one is to judge by the first day of our meetings and talks in Washington, I should say that the barometer shows fine.
The first stop on the Khrushchev tour after his Washington arrival was New York City. He rode a special train up from the Capitol, and the crowds which greeted him at Pennsylvania Station appeared not so cold as the people he saw on his first day in Washington. At an official New York City luncheon, the Soviet premier heard the mayor and others defend this country's system of capitalism. In reply, Khrushchev departed from his prepared text to warn that Russian economic strength will soon be greater than ours.
Вопрос той или иной системы государственной и социальной – это вопрос решает каждый народ.
Question of the state and social systems prevailing in this or that country is one to be solved by each nation in the respective country. If you like capitalism, and I'm sure that you do, God's with you. Continue in your efforts, but take care. A new system has emerged, a system that is treading, that has started to tread on your heels. And if at any time you start lagging behind, we will certainly surpass you.
With reporters and photographers trailing close behind, Khrushchev the next day drove to Hyde Park to visit the grave of Franklin D. Roosevelt. He returned to New York the same afternoon to address the United Nations General Assembly, a speech in which he made a far-reaching, if vague, disarmament proposal.
The essence of our proposals is that over a period of 4 years, all states should effect complete disarmament and should no longer have any means of waging war.
That night, Khrushchev met with former ambassador to Moscow, Averell Harriman, and a group of America's top businessmen, the kind of people Khrushchev likes to call warmongers. He was told by these people that there is nothing they would like better than to end the Cold War and turn their military production to consumer goods. The next day, a transcontinental jet flight to Los Angeles, where he visited the movie-making lot of 20th Century Fox. At a luncheon attended by the brightest stars in Hollywood, the Russian premier could not contain himself as he listened to Spyros Skouras explain about conditions in this country.
Because of the American system of equal opportunity, now I'm fortunate to be president of 20th Century Fox, an international corporation, an American institution of enlightenment and information. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, on your return, please tell your good people there is no unemployment in America for them to worry about it.
Пусть Госдепартамент не дает статистических данных о том, что есть безработные. Я не виноват здесь, это вы даете.
Let the State Department not give us the statistics that there is an unemployment in your country. I'm not to blame, they're your statistics.
Я читатель, а не писатель.
I'm only the reader, I'm not the writer.
Don't believe everything you read.
When it was Khrushchev's turn to speak, he complained about his itinerary.
When I came here to the city, I was given a plan, a program of what I was to be shown and whom I was to meet here.
А сейчас мне подошли и сказали: нет, вы, говорит, в такой-то городок поехать не можете. Как называется он?
Да. But just now, I was told that I couldn't go to Disneyland.
Я говорю, почему?
I asked, why not?
Может быть, там теперь ракетная площадка создана?
What is it? Do you have
по запуску ракет?
Rocket launching pads there?
Я не знаю, да.
I don't know.
Да. Мне говорят, видите, ехать вам нельзя туда потому, что мы, вот послушайте, что, говорит, мы, то есть американские власти не могут, если я туда поеду, гарантировать мою безопасность.
And just listen to what I was told, to what reason I was told. We, which means the American authority, cannot guarantee your security if you go there.
Что у вас там, холера, что ли, развелась, понимаете? Или что там, понимаете? Чума, что ли? Что я могу заразиться?
What is it? Is there an epidemic of cholera there or something?
Или бандиты захватили, которые могут меня уничтожить там?
Or have gangsters taken hold of the place that can destroy me?
Так у вас такие полицейские молодцы, знаете, он быка поднимет, понимаете, за рога.
But your policemen are so tough, they can lift up a bull by the horns.
А с бандитами они могут справиться?
And surely they can restore order if there are any gangsters around.
Я говорю, я очень хотел бы посмотреть. Я говорю, что я очень хотел бы поехать и посмотреть.
And I say, I would very much like to go and see Disneyland.
Мы тогда... Мы тогда не гарантируем вашей безопасности.
But then we cannot guarantee your security, they say.
Ну, что же, я должен пойти на самоубийство?
Then what must I do? Commit suicide?
Вот мое положение, гостя вашего.
That's the situation I'm in, your guest.
Это непостижимо для моего понимания.
For me, such a situation is inconceivable.
Это я не могу объяснить своему народу.
I cannot find words to explain this to my people.
Приезжайте к нам. Я поеду сам лично, если хотите. Вдвоем поедем с кем угодно. Я вам гарантирую, кроме уважения и почтения, иностранный гость ничего не услышит и не увидит.
come to our country. I will personally accompany anyone, any place, and no foreign guest will see anything but respect.
Afterward, the Khrushchev party was taken to 20th Century Sound Stage 8, where Frank Sinatra introduced the scene being shot for the picture Can Can.
I'd like to explain that the lack of the orchestra is due to the fact that this is pre-recorded. Those of you who have never seen a musical number done, it's been done before on a recording stage, and they synchronize to the record. So you'll hear the music, but you won't see the orchestra. Most chances we never synchronize very good, but you'll have to forgive us because we didn't rehearse, so we've been out late. Right? Okay. Now, this number, appropriately enough, is called Live and Let Live. And it's a marvelous idea. Gentlemen.
Live and let live.
Do and let do.
Do and let do.
Hear and let hear.
All right, but sue and let sue.
What for?
Dream and let dream.
If you can hold it, play and let play within limits.
Khrushchev seemed delighted at the movie lot party, but later he was heard to comment that the dancing was pornographic and he didn't like it. It was in the evening that the fireworks began. It started with a speech by Los Angeles Mayor Norris Polson.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I want to say in the most friendly fashion, we do not agree with your widely quoted phrase, we shall bury you. You shall not bury us, and we shall not bury you. We're happy with our way of life. We recognize its shortcomings and are always trying to improve it. But if challenged, we shall fight to the death to preserve it.
Khrushchev could not let such a comment go unanswered.
Я обращаюсь к вам, дорогой мэр, мой хозяин.
I turn to you, Mr. Mayor, and my dear host.
В своем выступлении вы сказали, что мы вас хотим похоронить.
In your speech, you said that we wanted to bury you.
Вы хорошо меня и моих товарищей угощали.
You have shown some wonderful hospitality towards me and to my comrades.
Я вам благодарен.
And I thank you.
Но правду вам скажу.
But I want to say the truth.
У вас так водится, нет?
Can I do that here? Конечно.
Я вас спрашиваю, зачем вы это говорите, когда я давал даже, когда приехал в Америку, давал разъяснение по этому вопросу?
I want to ask you, why did you mention that fact? Already while I was here in the United States, I've already had occasion to give clarification on that point.
Ведь я думаю, что меры тоже, видимо, прессу читают.
I trust that even mayors read the press.
In the same speech, Khrushchev issued a carefully worded threat that if harassed again, he would pack his bags and fly back to Moscow. It was an effective maneuver, and the next day on the train to San Francisco, he joked that at last he was released from house arrest. In San Francisco, the Russian premier had a private dinner party with a group of American labor leaders. Reporters were not allowed to record what went on during the sometimes stormy session, but auto workers president Walter Reuther afterward gave this account.
What we try to do is to get him to understand how we feel, because most of the communist propaganda is built around the myth that the Communist Party and that communism under the leadership of the Soviet Union is the liberator of the working class of the world. And we wanted him to understand that we did not accept that philosophy, that we thought that any form of dictatorship was bad because any form of dictatorship obviously destroys the kind of basic democratic and human values that we as free people cherish.
Khrushchev took a boat ride around San Francisco's famous harbor the next day, and he took advantage of the occasion to stop in at a longshoreman's hiring hall.
Gentlemen, may I address you as we in Russia are used to addressing the workers? May I call you comrades?
Что надо рабочему? Какое пожелание я хочу высказать рабочему?
What is the main wish I want to convey to the workers?
Чтобы был мир. Мало еще этого. Мир, чтоб был, чтоб была работа, чтоб все были заняты, и чтоб был хороший заработок.
Peace, but peace is not just enough. I want there to be enough work and a good wage.
From San Francisco, Khrushchev got back into the Air Force jet transport, which carried him to the tall corn country of Iowa. There he visited with his friend, Roswell Garst of Coon Rapids. Hundreds of reporters and cameramen swarmed around Khrushchev and Garst, who tried to keep things running smoothly. Khrushchev seemed to enjoy mixing with the milling crowd. He mugged for the camera, waved an ear of corn, and, of course, boasted that Russian farm methods were better than ours. The reporters and photographers enjoyed the combat as much as Khrushchev, but when it threatened to get out of hand, Garst issued a stern warning.
Now you fellas, wait a minute. I cannot let you in the cattle lot because if I let you in the cattle lot, we wouldn't have any cattle. So, Steve, if you will just get Lars or one of the boys to get a club and get over by the gate, the first guy that gets in the cattle lot, we leave because the cattle will leave if you get in with us.
The Khrushchev party was treated to a not too typical Iowa picnic lunch on the Garst farm, and afterward, one of the luncheon guests, Adlai Stevenson, summed up Khrushchev's impressions.
When he said goodbye to the Garst family, he said, "Now I have seen how the slaves of capitalism live, and they live pretty well, and so do the slaves of communism. And maybe we both ought to live the way we want to live and live in friendship and peace together. And now that I've seen how the slaves of capitalism how live out here on Garst Farm, I'm for it."
From the farm country, Khrushchev flew to Pittsburgh for a look at some of this country's heavy industries. Then on to Washington, where the real business of his trip was conducted. He held secret talks with President Eisenhower at Camp David on a wide range of pressing international problems. No agreements were reached, but the Russian premier appeared pleased and happy. He had won at least a softening of our attitude on Berlin, and there was no question about the fact that he had made a hit as a personality. And in a final broadcast, he expressed his gratitude to the American people.
Разрешите мне в заключение пожелать американскому народу процветания и счастья.
Permit me in conclusion to wish the American people prosperity and happiness and to express the hope that our visit to the United States and the forthcoming trip of President Eisenhower to the Soviet Union will be regarded not only by the American and Soviet people but everywhere in the world as the beginning of joint efforts in the quest for ways of bringing our nations closer together and strengthening general peace.
Goodbye, good luck, friends.
Goodbye, good luck, friends. Those were the only English words the Russian premier used during his 13 days in the United States, but they symbolized an easing of international tensions, which became known as a result of the Khrushchev visit, as the spirit of Camp David.